Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.
New Year's resolutions, lots of us are going to make them. Lots of us are going to break them. So why is it this time of year in particular we get such a grow for them, and what can we do to actually succeed? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, and I hope you've had a good Christmas and pigged out and relaxed and not had rows with family and just enjoyed the last few days, because already we are looking forward and we're looking ahead to 2026. And now that we've put on the traditional Christmas 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 pounds or whatever it is, we kind of tend to around the 27th of December tip into that feeling a little bit guilty. And that will creep up as we get to the first, and then you get there and you make your resolutions and say, everything's going to be different and I'm going to go to the gym this year and I'm going to be nice to everybody and I'm going to make a load of money and all of this sort of stuff. So we make them, but very often we don't actually follow through. So to talk about the psychology of it, why we do it, what might make us a bit better at it, and I suppose that constant need for betterment that we feel about this time of year, delighted to be joined by Brendan Kelly, a professor of psychiatry at Trinity College. Thanks for joining. Let me explain.
Thank you very much for having me.
Are you someone who sets resolutions?
I do, but I don't set resolutions for January 1st. You know, January 1st becomes this symbolic moment when we try to fix everything that has eluded us. The solutions have eluded us for 364 days, but somehow January 1st is this symbolic fresh start, as if everything changes overnight. So I'm not crazy about January 1st resolutions, but they are a moment, I guess, to reflect, to think, and to maybe make some small changes.
I've always found as well, particularly ones around food or weight or anything, sure, the fridge is still full. You're still dealing with leftovers on the first. You should at least leave it a little while in. When do you set yours then? Do you let January go by, or do you even have a date? Is it less of a conscious and more a continuous betterment?
The problem with resolutions is that we fail at them, or we worry we will fail. So one strategy is to get rid of that worry by failing immediately. Now, what this means, Sean, is you set the resolution on January 1st, and then on January 2nd, you deliberately break it. So you have failed. And then on January 3rd, you try and build up from a lower start point without the expectation. The expectation is gone, and you try and do small things, having failed at big things. So, you know, this idea that one day will renew us and purify us and morally reset and change our behavior is, of course, a fantasy, albeit a very, very seductive fantasy every year after Christmas.
Yeah. So what do we know about the actual psychology of changing? And you hear all of these different timelines of, you know, 21 days to make a new habit or whatever it is. Is there a specific way our brains are wired to change, that it just becomes the new normal?
Our brains and our bodies are built up for rhythms. We're built up for cycles. So we do well with a day-night cycle, weekday-weekend cycle, and the seasonal cycles as well. So What our brains are wired to do is to do repetitive actions, to do the same thing again and again. And the way we build a new habit is we make it very small, and we realize it's going to feel very odd because it's different to what we normally do. And we keep repeating the small action until we no longer need to make a decision to do it. It just gets woven into the day. On average, it takes us about 3 months to change and to create even a small habit. And that's for most people. Some people are better at it than others, but slow change is more sustainable, which is why I'm somewhat skeptical about pressing the big reset button, because that doesn't, you know, pressing a big reset button on January 1st doesn't necessarily accord with how our brains are wired or how our bodies are built.
And when you say a small habit, I mean, what kind of things are you talking about?
I'm talking about going for a 5-minute walk. I'm talking about reading one page of Ulysses by James Joyce each day rather than attempting 2 pages. I'm talking about something really small and ideally pleasant. So, for example, in the morning time, for our sleep-wake cycle, it is good for us to go outside first thing in the morning and exercise vigorously. Now, for those of us living in Ireland, we fall at the first hurdle, which is going outside, because it's highly likely to be raining or cold or in some way challenging. So what we do is with that, we pare it down and we say we will step outside for 1 minute each morning, ideally under some kind of shelter because of the relentless rain. But just that little burst of fresh air, that is quite pleasant. But don't push yourself to go for a 30-minute run where what you normally did was sit at home having coffee. You're not going to make changes that are that dramatic in your day-to-day routine.
So 3 months, I mean, a lot of people would be thinking, God, that's, 3 months in, it's a whole different world in March to where they are in January. And maybe that sounds quite a forbidding thing to do. And you tend, I find, to find people who do set lots of resolutions and the people who say, oh, I won't even bother. I'll not do it at all because sure, I'd only fail anyway. And I suppose there's a certain negativity in the psyche of those people that maybe is counterproductive too.
Well, there's this tendency to extremes that we need to change everything, or there's no point changing anything at all. And the cold, hard truth is that most habit changes are rather boring. They are the very small changes that make a big difference because we sustain them. So, for example, if you sit at home each evening watching the TV or watching a screen of some sort for 3 hours, you're not going to suddenly spend that 3 hours in the gym. The best advice is that rather than spending 3 hours looking at a screen, you aim to spend 2.5 hours looking at a screen and do something else pleasant for that other 30 minutes. So these things can be sustainable for the 3 month period that will make them into a habit. But remember, after that 3 months, you can expand the habit a little bit more because it's more solid. So resolutions can grow over the course of a year from a very small one to a slightly bigger one over the course of 12 months. And what you sign up to on January 1st, it shouldn't be like snakes and ladders where, you make progress, but then you're back down to zero. So smaller incremental steps work best. So a good resolution is maybe to go for a 5-minute walk for the first 3 months, 5-minute walk each day for 3 months, to boost that to 10 minutes after 3 months, 15 minutes, and then 20 minutes a day by the end of the year. So a graded resolution rather than a dramatic resolution starting at 9 a.m. on January 1st.
And do you think that 3 month window is the best then for goal setting? Because a lot of people might set monthly goals, which seems like a relatively reasonable time. They might say, okay, this month I want to lose 3 pounds or, whatever it is, whatever the particular target is. But are you saying if you give yourself that little bit of a longer horizon, and just stick to it in small doses, that might be a better approach?
Yes, and you have to build in a lot of forgiveness. It's like we forget about human nature when we set our resolutions. So if you plan, say, to exercise more every day, then you need to build in a forgiveness clause into your self-talk. So you'll say, look, each month I will probably fail on this 5, 6, 7 days. And if that happens, nothing dreadful occurs. No one gives out to me apart from myself. And the next day, I just resume. In other words, we don't stop when there's a bump in the road. We continue anyway, rather than being harsher on ourselves than we tend to be on other people.
I think that's a really good point because I know the one I fall into is you have a bad day. Let's say it's a weight target or eating or whatever. You have a bad day and then you go, oh, sure, it's nearly the weekend. Sure, I may as well start next week rather than starting the next day and just getting over that little blip. I think we're very good at letting the little blip become a big blip.
Yeah, so we have a tendency to catastrophize, and we take a small behavior, like, say, not sticking to the diet, and we We turn that into a massive self-judgment. We exaggerate it. We magnify these negative steps, and we tend not to reward ourselves for all the good days we did. So, for example, you could try to stick with the new diet for 5 days every week, and then on the other days just be a little mindful, but you know, not so harsh with yourself, and that can lead to a more sustainable change. It is interesting, Sean, the things we focus on. We do focus on diet, and weight, and physical activity. And I guess these are important enough, but it's also useful to think about making the activities themselves relatively enjoyable rather than always focusing on the numbers. We tend to quantify everything now because we can. Our watches and our phones can measure all kinds of parameters that we didn't even know existed, and they're of fairly dubious accuracy. So it's important to focus on process rather than outcome. And by that, I mean, maybe focus on enjoying the physical activity, being outside, going for a walk, rather than just looking at the outcome in terms of weight or health.
But when we're looking at that measurability, is it better, do you think, to have very specific targets? I want to walk 5 minutes a day. I want to whatever. Or should you set a more broad goal and let yourself evolve into it? I'm thinking of like taking up a new hobby, maybe something that's more holistic, but that you don't have very refined in your head yet.
So people differ on this, but for most people, the defined goal is more unhelpful than it is helpful. You do come across people who are almost obsessional about their step count and various aspects of their sleep that might be recorded on their watches. But this is generally unhelpful. It is better to shift attention to getting absorbed in an activity. So this might be, for example, that the goal would be to, say, go out into the garden and do some gardening, such that you forget how long you've been out in the garden. You just get absorbed in the activity, the digging, the weeding, and all of that kind of thing. And an hour goes by and suddenly a second hour has gone past. And that is a very mentally and physically nourishing state to spend as much time as possible in. And the way to do this is to look at your life and identify that activity, you probably already do it, that absorbs you and makes you forget about the world. So it could be something like running or walking or gardening, swimming. It could be playing a musical instrument or even listening to music, and getting absorbed in that activity whereby you forget everything else. Doing more of that is mentally nourishing and healthy. And most of us will do it because it's also enjoyable and rewarding.
Isn't it funny? Maybe this is a sad reflection of myself, but the one that came to mind when you said that, that I have found recently, I rooted out our PlayStation again and started playing it, and sitting playing that for 3 hours, I know is not great for me, and I get grief for it if I was to do it. But there you go. The mind is in a different space. I'm not thinking about work or anything else. So maybe with a bit of control on it, people can be can forgive themselves about doing stuff like that as well.
People absolutely can, because if it's an activity that absorbs you and requires some kind of skill, it tends to capture our interest, and we can spend time very profitably doing it. If you could maybe spend some of that time doing something similar that was more physically active, that would be even better. So, for example, I have a friend and she goes swimming. And I remember asking her, you know, what are you thinking about when you're swimming? And she said to me, nothing. My mind is empty and there is only the swimming. And that is a really good state of mind. It's a physical activity. And, you know, swimming is literally immersive. You know, everything goes out of your head. And also the words she used, there is only the swimming. It's like her self-consciousness was completely gone. It's like there was just the motion, the activity, the feeling. And that is that state of absorption, the state of flow. And also it's very physically healthy to do something like that as well.
Yeah. It's been on my list ever since we got dry robes for Christmas 3 years ago to get into sea swimming. Maybe this will be the year. Who knows? We shall see if that sea gets a little bit warmer. Finally, I suppose the last one to ask you, is it better to go with one, like keep your focus narrow, have one or two things you'd like to do, or maybe have a scattering of smaller ones?
it's best to have a small number of resolutions. And resolutions maybe isn't a great word. Maybe it's like small shifts in behavior. And this can be what's called stacking a new habit onto an existing habit. So something you normally do every day, you tack on something else. And the example here would be, if you get up in the morning and you make a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, that when you do that, you step outside, if only for a moment. And this is a lovely physical and emotional reset as you feel a nice day or you notice it's very cold or very wet. But you're stacking that going outside, that new habit, onto an existing habit. And if you pick a small number of those and you're forgiving of yourself, then you are likely to produce some changes. And remember, the habit you start with can grow over the year. So small steps to begin with, and then letting it grow naturally, particularly if it's something that absorbs you and that is enjoyable as well as good for your well-being.
Yeah, I think this idea of habit stacking is great. Someone said to me recently, and I've started doing it, when you're brushing your teeth, stand on one leg. And I know that might sound silly to some people, but that you're kind of helping your balance in by doing it and preparing for the future. Or if you have something financial or something you need to do every month, if it could be as simple as paying the bins or something that we forget to often do, do it on payday. Do it once a month. Just tie it to something that you're doing all the time. And if that's something that's productive to you, you won't forget it.
No, you won't, because we are built for habit. Our bodies and our minds are built for routine. So we can take advantage of this by grouping the activities and stacking the habits. And standing on one leg while you brush your teeth is an excellent one, because it helps with balance. And, you know, we tend to do a lot of cardiovascular exercise, or some people do, and not so much the strength and coordination exercises. So we can do these things at the same time. The key is small steps, and above all, to be compassionate and forgiving. It turns out we're not perfect people, and that shouldn't come as a surprise, but we are good enough people, and that should be plenty.
Great advice to end this particular interview. I'm Brendan Kelly, Professor of Psychiatry from Trinity College. Thanks so much for joining us, and let me explain. Hope you had a good Christmas and a very happy new year to you with whatever resolutions or habit stackings or anything else that you're getting up to.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this week's Let Me Explain. So we're going to be picking up this theme again next week, when we're going to be talking about a theory that kind of ties into a lot of what Brendan is saying about doing these 3 monthly reviews, essentially the 12-week theory, breaking your year up into a 12-week year in order to get more done in less time. Maybe it can actually be done. That's it for now. Enjoy the new year, and we will chat to you in 2026.
Hello, it's News Talk's Jess Kelly here. Before we get to this podcast, I want to talk to the business owners out there who know the value of having the right partner behind them. When it comes to empowering your business, Electric Ireland is the trusted energy brand that Irish companies rely on. As Ireland's leading energy supplier, they offer fixed price plans, expert advice and future-focused solutions, including solar power installation to support your business on its journey to net zero. Electric Ireland, making your business brighter. Visit electricireland.ie/business to learn more. Now, enjoy your podcast.